Welcome back. In this lesson, we're taking an amen break and turning it into something that really carries. Old school rave pressure in Ableton Live 12. Not just a loop, not just a chop-top classic. We want a tight, controlled, variation-driven drum part that still feels wild, rude, and junglist, but sits with proper authority in a modern DNB track. And that balance is the whole game. If the amen is too static, the tune feels cheap. If it's too loose, the drop loses pressure. So our job here is to keep the energy alive, but make the groove disciplined enough to hit hard in a club. Think of it like this. The break is the main character, but it still needs direction. First thing, choose a strong amen source. You want a sample with real transient detail, enough snap in the kick and snare, and enough ghost notes to make the groove breathe. Drag it into an audio track and lock your project into a believable DNB tempo. 172 to 175 BPM is a great zone. For this lesson, 174 BPM works beautifully. Now use warp, but don't go straight into heavy correction. Set warp mode to beats, and keep it as light-handed as possible. If the loop already feels clean, don't force it into something stiff. The idea is to preserve the internal swing and chatter of the original break. The amen's magic is in its movement. If you overwarp too early, you flatten the character and it starts sounding like a loop instead of a drummer. So, get the timing close, but keep the life in it. Next, we're going to slice the break to MIDI. Right-click the clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track, and slice by transient so the important hits separate cleanly. Ableton will build a sliced kit for you using Simpler, and that's exactly what we want. At this stage, think in rolls, not just hits. Every slice should have a job. Some hits anchor the groove. Some push it forward. Some answer the main hits. Some just decorate the edges. If a hit doesn't clearly help the rhythm, remove it. Rename your slices right away if you can. Keep the strongest kick and snare on easy-to-find pads. Group the ghost notes and lighter top-end hits nearby. This makes the whole thing feel like a playable drum kit rather than a pile of random sample slots. Now open the key slices in Simpler and clean them up. If there's a little click at the start, move the start point slightly. If a slice is overlapping too much, shorten the release. If a tail is muddy, trim it in the sample editor instead of trying to solve everything with envelopes. We want the slices to feel tight and responsive. Now comes the fun part, building the core two-bar groove. Start with the original amen logic as your skeleton, then tighten anything that feels lazy or soft. The snare needs to land with real authority on the backbeat. The kick should sit in the pocket and drive forward. Ghost notes should support the motion, not clutter it. Use velocity like a musical tool, not just a volume control. That's a big one. In a good amen edit, velocity is arrangement. Main snares can sit high, often around 95 to 120 depending on the sample. Ghost notes should usually live much lower, maybe 20 to 50. That difference creates depth and drama, and it helps the loop evolve without needing a completely new pattern every bar. If the groove feels too rigid, resist the urge to randomize everything. That's one of the fastest ways to kill pressure. Instead, move only the lighter ghost elements a tiny bit ahead or behind the grid, just enough to breathe. The main hits should still feel deliberate and confident. A really useful mindset here is negative space. Don't be afraid to leave something out. Sometimes pulling one kick or ghost note away makes the next snare feel twice as heavy. In old school rave pressure, what you don't play is often just as important as what you do play. Once the pattern feels good, route everything into a drum group and start shaping the collective punch. A solid stock chain might be EQ8 first, just to clean out any unnecessary rumble below around 25 to 35 Hz. Then drum bus for density and attitude. Then saturator with soft clip-on for a bit of extra edge. If needed, a light glue compressor after that, but keep it subtle. This is important. Don't smash the break. The point isn't to flatten the transients into a block. We want forward motion, not deadened drums. If you hear the groove getting smaller, back off the compression and let saturation do more of the work. If the kick and snare are fighting, split them out and process them separately. The kick can stay controlled and focused in the low mids. The snare can take a little extra upper mid presence. Ghost notes should be tucked away, high-passed, and kept clean. That separation helps the break stay powerful without turning into mush. Now we add support layers, but only where they actually help. This is where a lot of people overdo it. They hear a break and immediately stack three kicks, two snares, a clap, a rim, and a shaker on top of it. That usually kills the personality of the amen. So be surgical. If the kick feels a bit papery, add one clean kick layer, mono and controlled. If the snare needs more crack, add a short snare layer with a quick decay. If you want more motion, Add a very discreet top loop or shaker, but keep it high past and low in the mix. The layers should strengthen the break, not replace it. A smart move is to send some of those layers into a parallel drum crunch return. Put a Q8 first to filter out the lows, then saturator or pedal, then maybe a compressor, then another EQ to tame harshness. Blend that return quietly under the main drums. You'll get aggression and density without making the main kit brittle. Now we start shaping variation across the phrase. This is where the track starts sounding like a real arrangement instead of a loop. Use 4-bar and 8-bar ideas. Bar 4 might lose one ghost note or pick up a tiny snare fill. Bar 8 might add a snare drag or a reversed slice leading into the next section. Bar 16 can pull back for a moment and then slam back in. You want the listener to feel the tune progressing. Small changes are enough if they're purposeful. Try building 2 or 3 versions of the same 2-bar idea. One lean version with fewer ghost notes. One loaded version with a little more pickup energy and maybe a fill. One version with an alternate snare tail or a different articulation on the same slice. That kind of rotation keeps the ear interested without making the groove feel busy. An excellent advanced trick is to alternate fill endings. One pass can end with a snare rush. Another can end with a kick cut stop. Another can use a reverse tail. That rotation keeps people from predicting the turn too early. You can also use one-hit edits as structure markers. A single extra cymbal, a rim hit, or a reverb splash at the top of a phrase can make a section feel intentional and bigger than it really is. Once the groove is working, resample it. This is a strong advanced move, especially in darker DNB. Create a new audio track, set it to resample from the drum group, and print 4 or 8 bars. What this gives you is a unified drum performance. It glues the layered pieces together, and it lets you start editing the groove as audio instead of just MIDI. After resampling, you can do things like reverse a tiny snare tail, chop a kick into a pre-drop fill, or pitch a fill slightly down for a darker pull. You can also add a subtle delay or echo to a fill only, rather than the whole groove. That keeps the main beat clean, while giving the transition some personality. Now we automate movement. Use auto filter on the drum group if you want the intro to feel more contained. Low pass the break fragments in the breakdown. Then open the filter fully into the drop. That opening moment is huge in jungle and old-school inspired DNB. It makes the drums feel like they're arriving with purpose. You can also automate space sparingly. Maybe a little reverb send on a specific snare hit before a drop. Maybe a slight width reduction before the drop, then a return to full clarity. Maybe a tiny bit more drive in drum bus for a later section to raise the intensity. Just keep it controlled. We're shaping pressure, not washing out the rhythm. And don't forget the bass relationship. Even though this lesson is focused on drums, the amen only feels powerful if it has room to speak. Keep the bass mono in the low end. Use EQ to carve space if the bass line is crowding the drum body. If the bass is hitting hard on beat 1, make sure the kick isn't blurring that moment. If the snare is the main impact point, let the bass answer after it, not on top of it. That call and response is classic DNB energy. It makes the whole track feel faster and more powerful without actually overcrowding the mix. A few common mistakes to avoid here. First, overwarping the amen. Keep the warp treatment light. Second, too many layers fighting the original break. Use support layers with purpose. Third, ghost notes that are too loud. Those should push the groove, not clutter it. Fourth, too much compression. If the drums lose their snap, you've gone too far. And fifth, too much stereo width in the wrong place. Keep the low end centered and disciplined. For extra pressure, try a parallel crush drum return with saturation, compression, and EQ. Blend it quietly. Try a tiny reverse snare just before the drop. If the break feels too bright, tame a narrow top end band rather than darkening the whole thing. If you want more menace, keep the break fairly dry and let your atmosphere live elsewhere. Here's a solid mini workflow to finish with. Set the project to 174 BPM. Slice an amen to MIDI. Program a 2-bar core loop. Make one variation with an extra kick pickup and a subtle ghost note push. Make another variation with a reversed slice and a snare drag. Group the drums and shape them with EQ8, drum bus, and saturator. Resample 4 bars. Then arrange it like this. 4 bars of A, 4 bars of A, 4 bars of B, and 4 bars of A again, with a filtered intro into the final bar. Then do a mono check. Listen at low volume too. If the snare still dominates and the groove still reads clearly, you're in the right zone. So the big takeaway is this. A great amen edit is not just chopped, it's directed. Use tight transient control, purposeful variation, smart layering, and disciplined space. Keep the break alive, but make every hit serve the tune. That's how you get that rude, Old school rave pressure in Ableton Live 12. Now go build one that sounds like it belongs in a proper set.